welcome back, everybody, to the Good Old Hockey Podcast. And if you're listening and not watching, there's a reason. Alan has his sick goalie helmet. Alan, give a little detail tour of what that helmet looks like.
So I got the mask wrapped the other day. Well, today. I said the other day. I don't know why. It's got our logo on the side there. Number 72. Shout out, Bob. And then some claw marks on the top to match our
our
jerseys. And then I was bored. I had a little bit left over, so I put some claw marks on the back as well. Pretty slick.
That is so sick for those are, mind you, that's not wrap or that's not painted. That's just like a wrap with stickers. It looks super clean. I think that you would be the most dripped out goalie in our league.
I hope so. Shout out, what was the place called? Custom-cages.com. Kind of a Boot Gang website, but
It turned out.
Turned out well. I'm happy with it. We'll see how it holds up if I get beamed in the face on the first shot, like peels up a sticker, something like that. That would suck.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm now going to start harassing people if they hit me in the head in warmups.
Because the stickers could chip, huh?
Yeah. If that gets messed up, I'll be pretty pissed off because I spent 60 whole buckaroonies on that. But either way. Pretty cool. I'm pumped about it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. If you're a goalie, go check that out because that's a good deal for $60 to look like a professional goalie. So
it's pretty cool. Want to do that my entire life. Didn't want to drop $1,000 on an airbrush job.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can get more than that too.
Oh yeah.
Like the ones that the NHL goalies do, they probably drop $2,000-$3,000 on them.
Yeah.
I've looked into a couple of the websites they go off of.
Yeah.
They get pricey, but.
I bet.
Cheap way to get about it. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of money on, a beer league goalie setup, but I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we have a, I guess, depressing episode for you guys. If you're Canadian, you're probably laughing at us, pointing your finger and laughing at us. And we deserve it because we talked a whole lot of crap leading up to this Four Nations tournament, even after the game round robin win that we had. But first and foremost, give a little gentleman's clap to Canada. You did it. Good job. You won. A little snap. there's a lot of things about that game that, we could pick and choose and point at, and that's what we're going to do. So, first thing, I'm not one to blame the refs. I don't like blaming referee. I saw some comments that people were like, oh, it was Canada and the refs versus the U.S. and just draw like they. I don't give a shit. Like refs is part of the game. I don't care.
I think it was.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It was a pretty well refereed game. They kind of put the whistles away.
Yeah,
I'm assuming I know exactly what you're going to talk about though. Leading up to this, the missed call on the too many men for Canada.
Yeah, even then, like that's one of those calls like too many men. It's like it didn't really affect the play a whole lot. It's not like someone picked it up. If a Canadian had touched the puck like truly and had it on his stick, I'd probably be a little pissed. But it was a clearance, and I don't even know if it hit anyone. It might have hit someone's skate, but it doesn't affect the play that much, and I don't really care. I think at the end of the day, the reason Canada won is the thing that we said last week they needed to show up was Jordan Binnington.
Yep.
Jordan Binnington. As much crap as I want to give him and always give him, that guy is clutch as hell. I got to give it to him. He's clutch. When the lights shine bright, he's clutch. He's stopped everything in overtime for the most part. He even against Sweden, I thought that he played pretty bad when they were in the lead. He led in some squeaky goals, but in overtime, he had some clutch saves as well. So he's a horrible goalie when Canada has or any team has the lead. But that game's tied and it's in overtime. That guy is a wall for whatever reason. So
I think I owe Canada an apology. I was wrong. I'm not going to say I'm sorry, but I was definitely wrong. Connor McDavid. Although I will say he was not after I said that. Right. And of course I prefaced Connor McDavid was not going to be a factor. I prefaced that with this might be an awful take.
Yeah.
Throughout the tournament, when you think about Connor McDavid, right? Playing best on best. He's still by far the best player out there, right?
Yeah.
Not by far, because we've talked about that as well, but he's still the best player on the ice. you'd think he'd do a little bit more. I think he had, what, 5 points in four games?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he scored the game or the tournament winning goal, right?
Golden goal. Again.
Fluke turnover, right? Missed coverage, missed cue, bad play. He didn't do as much as I thought he would. That being said, he did score the game winner on the U.S. in overtime. So I apologize. I was wrong.
Yeah. I think
sorry, bro. Sorry, ketchup
freak. Ketchup freak. Yeah, dude.
He cares a lot about what I say, but
yeah, no. I doubt he doesn't care. But yeah, I mean, I think to say that he was an over the top great player in that tournament, I would say would be kind of crazy to say. He did what he had to do. He scored the golden goal, obviously. But we the U.S. did a good job at shutting him down. Mm-hmm. For the most part, obviously not that last second. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes in these quick tournaments is one bad mistake. You know, I think before I talk about any of the players, I'm just I feel like a little kid again that just wanted to cry that night.
Yeah.
Watching Sidney Crosby do it to us in 2010, the pinnacle of Team Canada, of just hockey. Sid the Kid scored on us. And then we get Connor McDavid again, almost 15 years later. Then he scores on us in a golden goal in overtime.
It looked like a similar play too. If you rewatch those two goals, they're kind of so. I mean, they're in the same spot on the ice. It's a different shot, but I don't know. Pretty depressing as a United States hockey fan. Connor Hellebuck, you did your job.
Yeah.
You played great throughout that game. Obviously didn't show up too much in overtime.
Yeah.
But I also think it's tough. Frankly, the U.S. was out playing the shit out of Canada in that overtime. And it's tough as a goalie. Obviously, I'm doing this at a much lower level. But it's tough when when you're not getting shots like that. You don't get quite into a rhythm. And I think the third period and the overtime of that game was kind of dominated by the U.S. So it could be kind of tricky to be a goalie in those situations because you get out of that rhythm when you're making a lot of saves. That's why I feel like you see a lot of goalies play really well when they have a lot of shots on net.
Yeah, because they're fired up.
They typically throw up good save percentages.
Yeah.
And it's because you get into that rhythm of you're getting constant shots, and it's just kind of like a rhythm. Yeah. So when you go, two periods and you get maybe 10 shots, it can be kind of tricky because you're kind of out of it. And I think that's kind of what happened. He played great throughout the rest of that game, I thought. But that overtime goal, you can't blame him.
No, it's Connor McDavid in the slot in overtime.
Yeah.
In a best-on-best tournament. You can't – I have no blame on, truthfully, anyone. Austin Matthews, as much as I want to rip on him, he played fantastic defensively. He had, two assists that game?
Yeah, I think so.
So he was making plays for people. Yeah. He didn't obviously score. I think there is a point to it where it's hey buddy, you scored 69 goals in the regular season last season. Maybe pot one, especially the one in overtime really upset me. And again, I don't really blame him. He got all the elevation he could on that shot.
Yeah.
But again, Binnington's blocker was just there. There was one save I heard people talking about. It was we were there watching it live and people were like, that was a good, it was Brady Tkachuk's shot.
People were like,
they're like, oh, what a glove save by Binnington. I'm like, that is from the red line. He's not Leon Draisaitl. He's not scoring that.
It's still huge. Yeah. Momentum wise, correct. It gets the boys going whenever there's a huge save like that. When you
get a stoppage,
it could be going wider than that. Right. And I feel like in the moment, people don't realize that, right? But when you're a goalie, you kind of can tell when something's going wider than net.
Yeah.
You stretch out full splits, make a huge glove save like that. That's a huge momentum builder. And then you follow that up with off the best goal scorer in hockey currently, a huge glove save in the middle of the slot. I mean, it was a pretty similar shot than what McDavid scored on, right? Yeah. But I would put money on Austin Matthews is a better shot than Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
You just brick wall him, right? Yeah. That's huge momentum wise. And they scored, 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
Binnington. No, and hats off to you, bro. You did your job.
Yeah. And we said that, like,
pretty, but
yeah, as much as the clip, you know, if you watch the entire clip, you get the sense of it. If you just watch the first 30 seconds and commented, that's why it may have seemed like we were jackasses. But we said, like, Binnington needs to be a brick wall for this team to win. Because if he's going to be his regular self and let in weak ass shots, they're not going to win. And I truly don't think that that's going to happen. The Olympics is a lot longer of a tournament next year.
Yeah.
So before we pivot into the Olympics, I mean, yeah, other players. I mean, obviously missing Matthew Tkachuk in the third period sucked. It's hockey. Injuries are a part of it. So it's Quinn no excuse Hughes. For that. Yeah. Quinn Hughes is out. He couldn't come over, which was, I thought, kind of BS because
Kyle Connor didn't play.
Yeah, I don't know why.
McAvoy didn't play the championship.
Yeah, he was hurt.
I don't know why you played Ryder over Kyle Connor, but
yeah, that was interesting. But I don't know.
I'm not Bill Guerin.
Yeah. But I mean, I think ultimately those guys on the US played great. And I think this just set the perfect stage for Italy next year. If you were not a hockey fan, there were plenty of hockey non-hockey fans that tuned into these games. 9 million mm-hmm. viewers, which is the biggest like non-Stanley Cup viewing that I think the NHL has ever had in the last, I'm sure, ever.
There were 5.6 million viewers at one given time on the Saturday game.
Yeah.
And that was the most viewed non-Stanley Cup game
mm-hmm.
of all time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nuts because now I'm not just saying this because I'm a US fan and the US lost, right? But this is kind of a throwaway tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. It's not the Olympics. And that's really the only thing that the two international tournaments anybody gives a crap about are the Olympics and the World Juniors. And this was not that.
Yeah.
But that's insane that they did 5.6 million viewers on a single. How many people tuned in for the NBA All-Star game? I highly doubt it's 5.6 mil at any given time.
Yeah.
I find that insane. Pretty nuts. Hats off.
Yeah, and I think
the NHL,
yeah,
for hosting this tournament.
Yeah,
I think, it's
and I think sport. As hockey fans, no matter what country you're rooting for, I think I'm saying this because we lost. If we were winning, I'd be talking shit. But we can all come together, and we can all come together, and as hockey fans, like, just acknowledge what the NHL did to give us such good hockey.
Absolutely.
And like, regardless, I would still say that if US had won.
Yep.
But yeah, like you said, I mean, it's not an actual tournament, but at the same time, like, I really would have liked us to win something against Canada. We haven't done it in years, minus the World Juniors. We're awesome at that. but the sheer like pain that freaking Team Canada has given me. But you know what? Again, the Olympics, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a different team. I don't think all these guys are going to be there, but I think the top six is still going to be there. I think some people you could count out are probably Vinny Trocheck, Chris Kreider.
I would honestly argue that Trocheck is probably still going to be on the team.
Yeah.
Solely because he's one of the best. He's probably the best faceoff guy in the NHL.
True.
Yeah. And he's one of the best penalty killers in the NHL.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Throw him on like the fourth line. Yeah.
And he can also score. He's got some talent. Obviously, no, he's in the NHL, but he's got talent. Yeah. Like, you could put that guy on any line and he'll probably succeed. Put him on a line with Austin Matthews and dish him the puck.
I just think it's one of those things where you kind of have to throw, it's a best on best tournament. Throw the best in there.
Yeah.
Why is Cole Caulfield left off the team?
That is wild. Tage
Thompson too. I mean, I don't know how his season's going. Yeah.
His season's that going well. He's up there in goals.
Yeah. And I mean, even 2 years ago, he was close to, I want to say he was close to 50 goals, if not 50 goals, when McDavid scored 60.
47 goals that year.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why I know that.
Tage Thompson. Yeah. No, Tager would be, and yeah. I think the lineups will be a little different. And I think also for the Olympics, you have a lot more time to practice together.
Yeah.
Four Nations is kind of thrown together. But Canada big brothered us. And honestly,
Yeah.
I forget if I told you this or Zooch this, but when I saw when we beat them on Saturday, I was like, okay, yeah. Awesome. We won, but this is going to be a tough team to beat twice. Just like in any sport.
It's always hard. The second game is always the hardest.
You can't like beating a team twice in a row. And even just like Stanley Cup playoffs are a little different, but even then, well, this is best on best hockey.
That's what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs so interesting.
Yeah.
And it's not like the NFL where it's do or die. It's one game, right?
Yeah.
It's you have to win four games.
Yeah.
In a seven game series. That's hard to do. No matter, even if you're the best team, like a few years back, the Blue Jackets bounced the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yep.
It's tough to beat it's tough to win a single game.
Yeah.
Let alone you're playing the best, pretty much the best possible team that you can create on paper.
Yeah.
One of probably the second or third best team you could create on paper.
Yeah.
And you have to beat them no matter who you are twice in a row. That's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
And Canada won when it mattered.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. They won the game that mattered. And, you know, I want to say series is tied 1-1. It's a new era. And again, I think Olympics is where it's the perfect stage set for the Olympics. Americans, it kind of fires them up.
Yeah.
Would I have loved to win that game? Yes. And have bragging rights for a year? Yes. But I think also it gives some of those guys a spark to go out there and do some shit in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I think like it's just the injuries, you know, it happens. It's hockey. Matthew Tkachuk has played. How much hockey has Matthew Tkachuk played in the last 3 years? He went to the Stanley Cup finals twice.
Yeah.
Always in the All-Star break. Like there's not much rest for that guy. And I don't even know. There's some reports that he's going to be out for the season. I don't know how true that is, but yeah.
It was wild. Also the whole Charlie McAvoy situation.
Yeah.
I thought besides that one goal they let in that first game that was kind of on him, he was one of the best players on the ice for Team USA.
Yeah.
He was making a very noticeable impact. And
speaking of greatest players on the US team, Jacob Slavin.
Oh my goodness. That dude, guy.
I would love to buy a Jacob Slavin US jersey. I probably won't. Guy. But
so I saw, I think it was Frank Saravalli tweeted about the reason why there should be two different defensive awards.
Yes.
Because the Norris, frankly, is a points race, right?
Yep. Yep.
It's a best offensive defenseman trophy.
Yep. Who's the best fourth forward?
That guy deserves a trophy.
Yeah. But there's nothing for that.
It's one of those things. We haven't seen best on best hockey for almost 10 years now, right? So this is the first time you're really noticing it, because who the hell is tuning into every single Carolina Hurricanes game? Not a lot of people if they're not a Carolina Hurricanes fan. But that guy deserves some goddamn recognition, because he was the best player on the ice for Team USA at any given time.
Yeah. Right?
That's unbelievable for a guy who does not put up points.
No.
So
how much do you get paid? I'll look it up.
Name it the fucking Slavin trophy. Like anything. give him something. Because that guy, year in, year out, we always talk about who's the most underrated player in the NHL. For the longest time, it was Alexander Barkov, right?
Yeah.
I feel like for the last few seasons, people have been actually noticing Jacob Slavin and saying he's the most underrated player in the NHL. That guy in that championship game proved that he is the best defenseman on the ice at any given point in time. I don't think I saw him make a single mistake in the entire tournament.
Okay, this guy, Jacob Slavin's getting paid $6.3 million until 2033.
Yeah.
He's 30 years old, and the Hurricanes have an absolute
stud.
Just a stud on defense. And yeah, Slavin, just watching him play as a defender myself, defensive defenseman myself, not a very good one, but watching him
this year, bro, you might be an offense.
I do. True. I'll give myself a two way. No. Slavin, just that stay at home defense. I mean, the notable one that comes to mind is that stop on Sidney Crosby. The turner, like, dude, if you're a non-hockey fan watching that, you know that's a great play. Like, you just see him, like, 180 stick behind him and stops. That was a goal from Crosby right there that he stopped.
He's doing it
in the block.
He's doing it against the best players in the NHL too. It's not like it's a regular season thing where, you know, Brock Nelson skating up the ice and he makes a big block, right? More Brock Nelson. The team. Boone Jenner is skating up the ice. Right? Yeah. He's doing it on Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
These are the best guys in the NHL, the most talented players in the NHL. He's making huge blocks.
Yep.
And like that guy deserves an award, not even a trophy. Put a medal around his neck. Like, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I think I've been hearing more and more about some kind of trophy for defensive defensemen, and I feel like we will see that here soon from the NHL. The more that we talk about it, so we'll make a clip out of this.
They should flip that
and claim, we'll claim that we were the reason. But I think it's definitely needed, just something to recognize those players, because you really don't, and you don't get that recognition from them. The Norris is a Bobby Orr Award. But it's just who's the best, who has the most points as a defenseman. And honestly, it's kind of lazy, because that's not what defensemen are supposed to do. Is it a nice help? Yeah, but
it's really interesting too, because exactly what you just said, like, defensemen, if you can get a great offensive defenseman on your team, that is going to help your team, right?
Yeah.
If you have a guy who is a solid number one, I'm going to shut down your best player defenseman, that is a fantastic hockey team, right? Yep.
That's why Tim's in on D again.
I love that guy. Shout out Tim Mooseman. I love him. You look at, like, the best teams in history, right? You look at them, they always have a solid number one guy who is going to go out and shut down the other team's best player. For the longest time, that was like your most physical guy, right? Like, a name that comes to mind is Ulf Samuelsson. I don't know why that comes to mind. That's random.
Okay. Yeah.
But he's going to go up and he's going to make your best player not want to score a goal, right? Yeah. Whether that be through physical play, whether that be through completely shutting them down, not letting them. Guy that comes to mind also as a Sharks fan is Mark-Edouard Vlasic. And that guy is somebody who I think has gotten a lot of hate in recent times, at least from Sharks fans, because of his contract. Yeah. He's on this horrible injury. I think it's $7 million contract, right? Yeah. And basically since he signed it, it's been awful. But in the early 2010s, he was probably the best shutdown defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah.
And he got paid handsomely for it, right? And that's somebody who never gets any credit. You see guys as a Sharks fan, again, like Brent Burns, get all the credit for being, you know, you won a Norris, right? He was awful defensively. He was fucking awful. I hated watching him play because it made me cringe every time there was a 2-on-1.
Dude, when he was a forward, I loved Burns.
Great.
He's a great, his forecheck was amazing. Like, he's a great forward, but he is not a defenseman.
Look at a guy like Mark-Edouard Vlasic in his prime. He made Team Canada in 2014, and he was probably their best shutdown defenseman besides maybe Shea Weber, right? Yeah. But he was fantastic. And it's one of those things where it's like, you look at these guys, they get zero credit, right? They make no money for what they're doing. They're putting their lives on the line, diving in front of shots 24/7, and they didn't even get paid well for it. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous. Jacob Slavin should be one of the highest paid players in the NHL.
Yeah, guy, he really should.
That guy is risking his life to keep pucks out of the net, and he gets zero credit and he gets zero money for it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 6'3",
half of what he should be, though.
Yeah, even if it's getting paid 6'3" is good, but getting paid 6'3" for what he just did in the tournament, and he's going to stay it that way until 2033 when he's 35, 36. So
there are guys who make $8-9 million in the NHL. What's his name? Juraj Slafkovský is making more money than Jacob Slavin. Is he more of a game breaker than Jacob Slavin? No, absolutely not. It's ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
it's not only the awards. Maybe it's just not as glorified of a position, right? A guy who's gonna go out and shut down everybody. It's not.
Well, you don't see that on the stat sheet.
You don't. But he should be making that fucking money.
He should.
I'm all for you, Jacob Slavin. Shout out to you, bro.
I know, okay. And I think if you give that award out, I think that changes then how much that player's worth. Like, if you have a dude who finished top five in voting for the Jacob Slavin Award, then he's gonna be up for $8 million, $10 million a year.
What would be a good name for that award?
You gotta go. I mean, what's the newest award? I don't even know if they're what the most recent award was that they've unveiled.
God,
but. Do you do it current?
It's something stupid like that. That nobody.
Do you do it currently? Like, is it a current name that you'd name it after? Or is it someone Hall of Famer that you like? I don't even know how you'd name it after someone.
That's the one thing, is the Defensive Defenseman Award is kind of a hard award to name. Right? Because they don't show up on the stat sheet.
Exactly. Besides
block shots.
Yeah.
Maybe takeaways. But like, it's just one of those things that's difficult. But that guy definitely deserves some sort of award. He deserves a medal, maybe a Purple Heart or something like that for limping the U.S. through that fucking tournament.
Well, he got a silver medal out of it, so.
Yeah, well, that's not good enough.
I don't know. So, Jacob Slavin, I mean,
shout out to you, bro.
Shout out Jacob Slavin, for real. I mean, Charlie McAvoy, too. Like, he was the same.
He was,
I think, Charlie McAvoy, yeah. If we had Slavin and McAvoy on the one and two line, like, I wouldn't put them together, but offset them a little bit so they're both guarding someone.
They're on
this Olympics.
Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby, and then who the hell do you answer? Well, I guess you answer with Nathan MacKinnon, but he didn't really do. I know he had that goal against the U.S.
Yeah.
Other than that goal, he looked kind of like a ghost on the ice. I did not. That's another talking point. This game was so interesting, right?
It was.
Because if you're not paying attention to the defensive side of the puck, right? Like, Auston Matthews was invisible in that tournament. Nathan MacKinnon, he scored a few goals. Against the U.S., he kind of looked invisible. Did he score the first goal in that first game? I don't think he did.
No. That was, yes, he did. He scored the first goal in Sweden versus Canada.
I don't know if it's just against the U.S., but he did not make that much of an impact.
Yeah,
and that kind of stunned me. Nathan MacKinnon is one of my favorite players in the NHL. I think he's, over the last couple seasons, I would honestly argue that he's been better than Connor McDavid. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, he has a Stanley Cup. He led the points last year. Has had the Hart Trophy, and
still this year,
he's leading the league this year in points. He's honestly been better than McDavid.
Yeah.
And he wasn't that much of a factor, at least against the U.S., besides that one goal he scored. Like, I was not noticing him on the ice, which kind of shocked me.
Yeah. Maybe it's just our bias eyes not watching Canada's I was watching U.S.'s defense super hard, watching Auston Matthews play great defense, which he's been doing for years on end, and no one really gives him credit for it. But
yeah,
I think also with best on best tournament, like we talked about, even Stanley Cup finals, like, a lot of those big name guys go silent, but it's really because of these great teams that are just deep defensively. And like,
they're
playing, you have to have Sam Bennett score a goal.
Yeah.
He has to score that goal because Crosby isn't. And obviously MacKinnon scored that goal off an insanely quick shot. Yeah. And McDavid, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah. Other than that, McDavid even didn't seem like that much of a factor in that game. Like, outside of the goal,
he tried to do his stuff where he's skating around the ice, and it just it's not going to work against a solid through and through team. Yeah, you throw Edmonton against the San Jose Sharks, and I mean, Celebrini's going to stop them, so never mind. Different team. Throw him against the Nashville Predators, and he's going to dance around everyone, but. You put him in a best-on-best tournament, he's not going to be able to do that all the time. Granted, he scored those goals because, guess what? The U.S. messed up and let him do that.
Both of those goals were weird too.
Yeah.
That first goal by McKinnon was like not a floater because it's Nathan McKinnon shooting the puck.
No, it was a quick release.
Kind of a floater from the point, right?
Yeah.
That was just, there were three guys skating in front of Hellebuck. That's a weird shot, right?
Yeah.
And then the OT goal was just a complete breakdown. Just a defensive lapse that's going to happen occasionally. It just does.
Yeah. But
I don't know. Yeah, it was interesting. I think the Olympic matchup is going to be real interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully Quinn Hughes is healthy.
Yep.
Charlie McAvoy. I think a healthy roster, like imagine what having Quinn Hughes on the ice does to that team.
Yeah.
Brock Faber, I think, played fantastic in that tournament.
Oh, yeah.
But
that kid's 22.
He's probably the odd man out for next year, which is nuts because he was fantastic. Great, though.
Yeah.
Who the hell else? Like
Adam Fox. Get him off.
Adam Fox did not actually play that well, huh?
No, get him off. Get him off. Throw him the 7th D.
Realistically, McDavid might have been Fox's guy on that breakdown. Like, yeah, you could blame Austin Matthews for skating
towards
the puck when McDavid's wide open in the slot, but.
Yeah, and I think
typically cover forwards.
Center on center's a little. It's weird.
It switches out, right? But
yeah,
it's just one of those things. I don't know. Fox didn't play very well. He might honestly, dude. Brock Faber impressed me a lot in that tournament. We're gonna talk about this for an hour and a half, but Brock Faber impressed me a fuck ton. That guy for a 22-year-old defenseman. Playing best on best hockey.
Yeah.
He did not look out of place at all, which is nuts.
Yeah. No, he's a real deal.
That guy's a star in the making.
You know who else is? Jack Eichel. This is the only time that.
God, we haven't this even is the, his name today.
Yeah. Oh this is the only time God. We can really love Jack Eichel, which is painful that he's a knight. Like,
yeah.
Watching him play the game of hockey is just.
It's crazy.
He's. Not better than McDavid, but he not skill wise, but as an overall play, as a center in hockey, give me Jack Eichel over McDavid.
What makes me it boggles my mind, right? When you watch Connor McDavid play and he's skating up the ice, he looks like he's trying really hard, right?
Yeah,
he's going 100% no matter what. Jack Eichel will skate up the ice, skate through three guys, and keep in mind, best on best, three guys. And it looks like he's not fucking trying. Yeah. Like, it's insane. He's so effortless with everything he does.
Yeah.
It's that guy I could talk about for hours. That guy's insane.
Yeah. No, he's smooth and he's a great fun player to watch. And just watching him control the puck, I thought JT Miller also had a lot of just offensive possession zone entries. Watching him play, I mean, everyone on the U.S., like, again, I'm American. I'm proud of everyone for what they did, except for Adam Fox.
Fuck you, Adam Fox, you goddamn New York Ranger. Fuck you.
No, I mean, I think Jack Hughes was a little underwhelming for who he is. I think you wanted a little bit more out of him. All of us did. But, I mean, he's also 23. It's his first best on best. And I know we said, again, Brock Faber looked great as a 22-year-old. But... you're not supposed to look great as a 22-year-old. So props to him. But what's his name? Jack Hughes, I'll give a little credit to. And, you know, that was his first time. I also don't know what it is about him. I've been seeing a lot of highlights or, I guess, lowlights of him just absolutely eating shit on the ice. I don't know if that guy just can't. He looks like he can't skate. He looks like me sometimes.
That guy is, first of all, I love Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes.
Yeah.
Might be my favorite player in the NHL. I have a Jack Hughes jersey. Mm-hmm. I wear it. I wore it to me, Sean, and a couple other of our friends from hockey. We went to a bar to watch the game, and I wore that jersey, even though I have a Jack Eichel jersey. Love that guy. He looks like he cannot skate because he cannot. Maybe it's because he's so good at skating. He, like, out-talents himself.
Maybe. Right? His brain isn't,
But he looks like he cannot ice skate, which is the funniest thing ever. I think next year will be a lot different because now he has a taste of best on best hockey.
Yeah.
And there are some guys who take to it naturally, right? You saw Crosby when he was 22, I want to say, during the 2010 Olympics. Took to it naturally. He was the best player on the ice for Canada. Some guys don't. Some guys take a little longer, and that's fine. Jack Hughes, kind of his entire career, has taken a little bit longer to take that next step. But once he does, he's one of the best players on the ice at all time. At all times. You look at Jack Hughes' first couple years in the NHL were pretty underwhelming. Yeah. But he's come around to it, right? And he's somebody that the U.S. is going to have, assuming they go back to the Olympics in 2030, they're going to have him then. And then 2034, they're going to have him then.
Yeah.
He has plenty of time to kind of grow into that and get comfortable with that. And I think that's kind of what it's going to take.
I agree.
But that's okay, right? Like he's only, he's not going to get worse next year. He's 23, he's going on 24. He's going to have a little bit more time to put on a little more weight, get a little bit more comfortable skating because it looks like he's brand fucking new to it.
Yeah, it's like those kids. Well, I remember going through puberty and like a going through a growth spurt and then trying to skate and like be used to your body.
Yeah.
That's what he reminds me of, just like a 14-year-old skating around. Not that he can't skate, but he just sometimes I'm like, can you skate? Like,
he's 10 times the ice skater. Either of us, but at the same time, watching him sometimes, it's like, ooh, bro, come on.
We make similar plays sometimes. All I can say is that a knock on me or a knock on him? I don't know. Anyways.
I still remember, I think it was against the Rangers last year. He had the one play where he was skating through like his own team's side of the red line, right up by the dot. And he just completely, like, it looked like he slipped on a banana peel. Yeah. It was so fucking funny. You got to play clip that. Yeah. So funny.
Just, like, slipped. I remember that, yeah. That was one of the ones I was talking about, too. It's just, I don't know what it is. But, I think.
Underwhelming, like you said, but next year, Olympics, I think it'll be different.
Yeah, I think he's got time to grow. And like you said, 2034, he'll be on that team.
Yeah.
2030, he'll be on that team. So, it's like. Realistically, not that big a deal.
Well, you think about it. If the U.S. goes to the Olympics in 2038, if he's still the elite hockey player he is, he's going to be on that team.
Yeah. Which is nuts. Crosby's 37.
He's 35
at that point.
And it's Jack Eichel's one of the best players in the, or Jack Eichel. Jack Hughes is one of the best players in the NHL. So, I don't see why he wouldn't be. I'm pumped to watch Jack Eichel in that tournament next year.
Yeah, because and we'll get best on best, and
satisfying.
I saw a clip of Gary Bettman today, pretty much announced that they're going to go Olympics, most likely All Star, World Cup of Hockey, All Star, Olympics, World Cup. Like they're going to keep interflipping it, and they want to keep World Cup of Hockey like soccer does.
They should,
And they should, because this was an amazing thing for hockey, and it's only going to grow the game, especially here in the States. You know, we're already a powerhouse.
Yeah.
But to keep it going, and I will say, I am terrified of Canada. Let's say the World Cup of Hockey, because Celebrini is going to be playing for Team Canada. Gavin McKenna is going to also be up. And there's plenty of other superstars that are in the making right now.
You couldn't really say that about the U.S. too.
Yes.
Who I'm terrified for, bro, is once this Russian war in Ukraine is over.
Oh God. Yeah.
Team Russia. Yeah. I was looking at their like prospective lineup, right? Mm-hmm. They would be fucking nasty. They would probably be the best team in the tournament.
Yeah, no, they would. Their goalies alone. I mean, their goalies, they got Bob in net. They got Vasilevsky and they got Shesterkin. Shesterkin is your third goalie.
It's just, I know
how you feel about him, but he's still a great goalie.
No, Igor Shesterkin, I hate on that guy. Mainly, I don't. Okay, little side rant. I know we've been going on. We still have other things to talk about. We've talked about international hockey at the start.
Okay, the last thing. Go ahead.
Reason why I don't like Igor Shesterkin is because that guy. Okay, every goalie does this sometimes. Makes a save. It can be a routine save, and you see him windmilling this shit out of the puck. Right. You're in the National Hockey League, bro.
Yeah.
You're at the peak of hockey. You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Right. No. If you're in minor hockey playing AAA and you're on a mediocre team, right? You might have to do that to get noticed.
Yeah.
You're at the peak of hockey. You don't need to do that anymore. You can just make the routine save. It pisses me off. And also, there are many, 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 many clips of him getting touched by a skater on the ice and him flying all over the place. And that also really pissed me off. I love Mike Smith. He's one of my favorite all-time goalies, pardon me. That guy was a fucking routine culprit of that. He get like some guy would bump into him and his glove would be flying across the ice. And it pissed me off because it's like, dude, you're a goalie. Just your only job is to keep the puck out of the net.
Yeah.
You don't need to draw penalties. That's not your job.
Nope.
You don't need to be a bitch. That's not your job. Right? Stop being a bitch. And Shesterkin does the same thing. So that's why I don't like him. He's one of the most talented goalies in the NHL. He is nasty. But I hate that guy because he's a fucking bitch. Pardon my language. Anyway, we can move on.
Yeah. Overall, so excited for the Olympics. You guys should definitely tune in if you didn't already. Yeah. What the Olympics are going to be great. I'm curious how the time difference is going to work. I hope that the IIHF or whoever runs the Olympics for hockey plans it so that, you know, people in North America can watch their games. You know, obviously Europeans, you know, schedule it for their times, whatever. But I hope it's not the case where there's games on at 4 a.m. Or maybe I do. Maybe I want to go watch a game at 4 a.m. like a sicko. But
that was the trouble with the Sochi Olympics 2014. I remember I was in Lake Tahoe, California during the Sochi Olympics.
Yeah.
And the US-Canada game, I forget which game it was. I think they played 2 in that tournament, but it was on like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And I woke up at 7 and Googled it, and I was like, oh, the US lost. Fantastic. Didn't want to wake up at 4 a.m. to watch that hockey game. Nobody does.
Yeah. I think Italy's like 12 or 13 hours ahead, so I hope they plan it so it's like 8 p.m. or 8 a.m. their time, 8 p.m. our time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just hope they do it well and we can watch the games. But we got someone to talk about. He's Russian, and he is about to break the most lucrative record in all of – well, second most lucrative record in all of sports behind Wayne Gretzky's points – is Wayne Gretzky's goals. Ovi is, at the time of recording, I'm sure he plays another game in the next 2 days, but at time of recording, Ovi is 13 goals away from Wayne Gretzky. Wait, did I say that right?
Breaking Wayne Gretzky's record.
Yes. Ovi's 13 goals away from breaking Wayne's record. He could do it possibly against the Sharks if he goes on an absolute tear. He plays the Sharks in 10 games. I think it'd be pretty funny.
just to
have so it's in San Jose too. Yeah,
he was a Sharks fan growing up, so that would be real interesting to see him do that.
Yeah just light up Georgiev.
He might light up Georgiev for 8 goals. Like, that guy sucks.
Yeah, he really could. And I think, like, you know, for the sake of any record, like, put him in net. Like, imagine, like, we're always going to be that team that got, you know, Ovi beat Wayno's record too.
The list we're about to talk about, I don't know if I'd take Georgiev over any of these guys.
Right? Yeah.
And we were just discussing how bad they are.
Yeah.
We'll go over that in a second, but
yeah. So one thing that really irks me right now is the comment section under any chasing greatness post at the NHL post. Everyone's always talking about how much, Ovi's scoring empty nets. Oh, yeah, how many empty netters does he have? Blah, 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 blah. Empty netter, empty netter, empty netter. Ovechkin has 64 empty net goals. Wayne Gretzky had 56. So I don't want to fucking hear it from people about empty net goals from Alex Ovechkin. The guy's 39 years old. He scores on the power play. Yes, he just stands there on the dot. But guess what? You go try to do that. You go stand out on the dot. I'll do it in my beer league game. I'll go stand out at the dot and stand there straight up with my stick and see if I can one time it in the net. I can't do that. I guarantee it.
He also has like 500 even strength goals. So I don't know why how many power play goals did Wayne Gretzky have? I could almost guarantee you it's in the 200s minimum. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's just funny enough. Talk about empty netters. This is kind of a segue into our next little comment on this. I think Wayne Gretzky had about 894 empty netters because the goalies he played against were fucking awful. Would you like to read through the top goalies list of the 1980s?
Yes. So I pulled this up. It is the save percentage of Wayne Gretzky's prime, the 1980s. These are the top goalies. Mike Louis, who had an 883 save percentage. He had the most wins that decade with 251. Grant Fuhr is another one on there, 211. Guess who he played in net for? The Edmonton Oilers. So it doesn't count. Billy Smith, another notable name. He was rocking an 890 save percentage. Alan, in your expert opinion.
He was probably the best goalie of that decade, too.
Yeah.
Like if you look specifically at stats, he won, I think it was 4 Stanley Cups in that decade with the mm-hmm. Oilers. Might have been 3.
Yeah.
Because I forget how they're, I forget the years of the Islanders dynasty. It's frankly a bunch of trash cans. Guys who were not good.
Yeah.
And well, okay. Yes, they're good. I think, they're good for the yeah. time. But you look at a guy, he's saving. Billy Smith is the best guy on this list. There's how many guys are on this list? I want to say it's 10. Now you're 10. As far as save percentage goes, saving 89% of shots. That would not even that would be a guy getting cut from an NHL team.
Yeah.
You look at guys who we talk a lot of shit about being the starting goalies in the NHL, Alexander Georgiev. He's probably got like an 895 save percentage.
Yeah.
I would have to look up the specific stat on that, right?
Yeah.
Different eras, right? Different styles of goaltending. Goaltending yeah. completely changed with Patrick Waugh and then in the late 1980s, early 1990s, mm-hmm. early 1990s. But you look at it and you're like, this list fucking sucks. It's a bunch yeah. of guys who could not save a puck to yeah. save their life.
And it was, like you said, a different time. Different yeah. time, different skill. We get that. But if anything, that adds to Ovi's argument that he's the greatest goal scorer ever.
Just read through the list of guys.
Yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury, Pecorine, Henrik Lundqvist, Jonathan Quick, Carey Price, Tuukka Rask, Roberto Luongo, Braden Holtby, Sergei Bobrovsky, Corey Crawford. I want to say everybody on this list.
It's over. All of them are over a 9-1 save percentage.
I want to say the only guys who haven't won a Vezina on this list are like Jonathan Quick and Corey Crawford. Like it's insane the list of guys that he's scored on.
Yeah.
And the guys he's playing against. It's not like he's playing against backup goalies every fucking game.
Yeah.
He's playing against all-star goalies. And you look at the guys who are playing today that he's scoring on. Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, still Sergei Bobrovsky, like guys like that.
Yeah.
He's putting them numbers on.
Yeah. And that's just
the other thing, most of this list is going to be mostly in the Eastern Conference. They seem to have better goalies than the Western Conference, at least in the last 15 years, right? And he's scoring mostly on those guys.
Yeah.
That's insane. It's not like he's scoring on trash cans. He only has 64 empty net goals. We looked up the stat before the podcast, and he's 270 goals against above the net, the best. I can't speak right now. Jeez, he's 270 goals above the next best guy since he's entered the league, which is Sidney Crosby.
Yeah,
the
greatest hockey player of our generation.
Yeah, and you take away Sid has played. I think he said it was like 150 less games played.
Yeah,
than Alex Ovechkin. He's not scoring over a goal per game.
Yeah,
he's not scoring damn near 2 goals per game.
And mind you, Ovechkin played through a lockout, 2 lockouts, a COVID mm-hmm. season, COVID shortened season, and then the year after that, like he's gone through so much stuff that you know has hindered him from even like he would have. If there's no lockout, no COVID, he would have broken this record by probably last year, 3 years ago.
What would have been his rookie year was a complete lockout, 05-06, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he would have scored 52 goals. I think he scored 52 goals his rookie year. I'm not saying he would have done that, but 30? Probably. Yeah. Right? And then you add on the COVID-shortened year and the lockout in, what was that, 2013-14?
Yeah.
He'd be well past 894 by now.
Yeah.
He'd probably be pushing 1,000, which is nuts. That's fucking insane. That's 60 more goals than he currently has. He did 880, right? Yeah. It'd be can Alex Ovechkin get to 1,000? I think that question still like that's still possible, right? Yeah, he's what, 39?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he cracks it. 1,000 is crazy. If he play, if he could
something this year,
he could. But if he cracks 1,000, that's psychotic from him.
If he plays two more seasons, I'm gonna.
If there's anyone to do it, it's him.
I'm gonna make a take right now. Two more years, right? He's hold up. Let me look this up.
I think ultimately, again, this is nothing to take away from Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky's the greatest hockey player of all time. He's a GOAT because of how much better he was than everyone else. I've said this multiple times. But to discredit Ovi because of what Wayne Gretzky did, Wayne Gretzky played against some bum-ass players.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. But that shows how much better Wayne Gretzky transcended the game of hockey. But Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal to pot almost 900 goals against players that we just named.
Like Marc-Andre Fleury. 270 goals above the next best guy since his draft class.
That guy is Sidney Crosby.
Nuts. And it's Sidney Crosby. It's not like we're talking about some bum.
Yeah.
It's not like we're talking about Chris Kreider, right? He'll score 20-30 goals in a season, get four assists. It's not like we're talking about that guy. We're talking about Sidney fucking Crosby.
Yeah.
And he's 270 goals ahead of him in like 100 more games played, something like that.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And the other thing. Now, this might be a take. This is a take and a half. He's 118 goals away from 1,000, right?
Okay.
He is, let me do some quick math. Scored 29 goals in 41 games. Let me look this up real quick. This is wasting time on the podcast. So he's on pace for 58 goals this year. First of all, that's fucking psychotic, right?
37 and had a broken leg.
I'm not saying he keeps that pace for the next 2 years, right?
No.
But 40? He's, you know, he'll probably get to, I'd bet he breaks Waino's record this year, right? Mm-hmm. 13 goals, that'll bring him up to 895, right? 105 goals away. Say he's not two years away from 1,000. That's the unbreakable record. Yeah, you think about the best goal scorer of this generation is Austin Matthews. He's at like 400 goals, right?
Yeah.
And he's 27.
Yeah. If he has another half of his, if he again puts up another 69 goal season, he could potentially get close to 800. But I don't see, and that's if he's playing till he's 37. Like there's so much to it where this record in of itself was already untouchable, and Ovi is just making it even more untouchable. And I think personally, I think once if he breaks it this year, I think he's done. I think he retires. I think
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah,
if you're making in the upper zeros of $1 million. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense. I forget what his exact contract is, right? It's probably 7, 8, 9 million.
Yeah.
And you're still scoring. You're on pace to score 58 goals this year. Why the hell would you retire?
Yeah.
You're still one of the best goal scorers in the NHL. Yeah. Like you're true, still,
and you can just keep putting numbers up.
Like, why wouldn't you just keep the fucking ball rolling? The Caps are also one of the best teams in the NHL right now.
I know. Which shows, give the puck to 8. Cup. Yeah, he could. Give the puck to 8. And, like, as bad as it reinforces to youth hockey, give the puck to the best player and let him score.
Yeah, but you're still, succeeding at a high level.
Yeah, why not?
It's a little different when you've done everything in the sport, right? Frankly, he has done everything in the sport
he has.
Possibly could. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's won Olympic gold. He's won just about every single individual trophy he could ever imagine winning. It's not like he's going to win why am I forgetting what the defensive – Selke, right? But why retire if you're still that good? He's 29 yeah. goals in 41 games.
Yeah.
He's a 30 goal scorer halfway through the season. Like yeah. that's insane. No, why would you retire? He's damn near on pace. He's on pace for his damn near his best goal scoring season ever.
Yeah.
And he's 39 fucking years old. Maybe this is just extra motivation because he's like, oh, well, I'm only this many goals away from Wayne Gretzky's record, right? But he's halfway through the year. He has damn near as many goals as he did last season. He had 31 goals in 79 games played last year. He's two yeah. goals away from that. He's halfway through the year. Why would any he broke his fucking leg?
Yeah, that too.
He probably already have broken it if he didn't break his leg.
True. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
That guy's nuts. I love Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a sad time in our life. We're going to feel old when him and Sid both retire. But yeah, I think it's going to be fun to watch him break that record this year. I truly think it's going to happen. He's going to will it one way or the other. That guy can just put the puck in the net. And the Capitals are going to be in the playoffs this year, I believe.
That's one of the special talents you just can't replace, too.
Yeah. No.
Goal scoring in the NHL is so hard to come by. Like,
yeah.
You have the ability to do that. You have the ability to do anything. That guy's nasty. Yeah. They're way above first place in the Metropolitan Division. They're 14 points ahead of the Carolina Hurricanes, who are in second with the same amount of games played.
Yeah.
14 points ahead of the Devils with two games at hand. They're the second best team in the league with the game at hand. Like, I would keep the ball rolling. Why not? Yeah. They've been nasty this year.
Yeah.
Fucking, if you don't want a Stanley Cup next year, run it back. Who cares? Yeah. Win a second. Win yourself a second and a third. Fuck Sidney Crosby. You got the opportunity. If you guys are still gross next year, why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, no, I agree. Okay. All right, well, that is the episode. We are obviously some depressed Americans, but we're excited for the Olympics. I'll say that. And Canada, this isn't over. This isn't over. This is just the beginning, frankly. We're going to have best on best hockey every 2 years. This is just the beginning. Team USA is going to get better. So is Team Canada, but we're ready. We've got goaltending. You don't.
Real quick side note. I think it was amazing that we got what is probably the best rivalry in hockey.
Yeah.
Two times in a week.
Yes, dude. That's
the best part about that Four Nations tournament. Like,
we got two game sevens within a week.
U.S. Canada is the best rivalry, I would say, in hockey.
Yeah.
And we got that twice. We are blessed. Like, that's the best way I can put it. We are.
Yeah.
Extremely blessed that we got to see that twice.
Now we have to watch Sharks hockey.
Oh,
yay! Watch them lose. No, I'm excited. You get to
see Mac played great. Greeny.
Yeah, he scored. He's gross. But yeah, next week is a trade deadline, March 7th, next Friday.
You're gonna have to cut it out.
I'm not cutting it out. Staying in there. Oh, next Friday is the trade deadline. We're gonna go live, 10 a.m. Boise time for about 2 hours, break any big trades that come through. Okay, really quickly, we don't have to touch on it too much, but I've been hearing some rumblings that Mikko Rantanen could get moved yet again.
I saw that too. Hurricanes. That's nuts.
We'll touch on that next week, some big potential trades that are coming on the Wednesday release, and then Friday you'll have a live stream with us. Come kick it with us. That's next week. So without further ado, everyone, go USA. Excited NHL hockey's back, and we've got more consistent hockey to watch. That's not just one game, but what a week. What a great all-star, I guess, how do you say it? Like, replacement for the all-star game. What a great replacement. Gary Bettman, hats off to you. I don't give much credit to you, but I'll give you credit there. Other than that, you guys have a great week. We're going to go win our game tomorrow. And then we'll report back next week, and we'll be talking. And yeah, look at that fucking helmet. Plug that company again. Where'd you get it from?
It's custom-cages.com. Shut them out, bro.
Nice. Go check them out if you're a goalie. Yeah, they did. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.